It's Monday. And, well, it's Monday.
It's supposed to be warmer than it is now.
And now, here's Bill Benica.
It apparently gets warmer late. Or something. There. The weather was, it says 78 degrees for the day, and right now it's about 60. You're with Bill Benica. This is Talk is Cheap, Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYNS, your news station. Thank you very much for joining me today. Did you just hear the news they had on the CBS? Pakistan has developed a cruise missile, and it flies just right above the ground, and it can travel 400 miles. Our cruise missiles travel 2,000 miles. Theirs must be electric, and they got to recharge it every 400 miles or something.
Ever smell coffee beans roasting? You probably will when you start buying your bags of coffee at Slow Roasted Coffee's warehouse in Los Osos. Slow Roasted Coffee is expanding their own in-house store, which will feature, you guessed it, coffee and accessories. They're open weekdays from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m., and there's always a few free coffees for you to sample. Catch this. You'll save money with the new Slow Roasted Coffee Coin Club. Here's how it works. After each coffee purchase, they'll stamp your coin, and your 10th pound will be free. Of course, your local grocery stores still carry Slow Roasted Coffee, but now you can shop directly at their warehouse. That's right. Walk in the door, and you might smell the beans a-roasting. You'll find Slow Roasted Coffee in Los Osos at 1172 Los Olivos Avenue near Fairchild. Now in their third decade, Slow Roasted Coffee is truly a Central Coast tradition that tastes great.
California is number one at a lot of things. Surfing, wine. We're the state with the most millionaires, the most nonconformists, the most millionaire nonconformists. That's why Farmers, the number one insurance group in California, is proud to have been born right here. Our 4,200 agents statewide have the experience to help you tailor a plan for the unexpected.
You can't go wrong with a guy named Wright, so give Farmers agent Mike Wright a call at 541-3942.
Number one ranking based on market share of property and casualty insurers in California.
You can't go wrong with a guy named Wright, and that's a fact right there. All right. Call Mike, call Josh about your business stuff. The Wrights, they're right on right there. Now, and they're right on Los Osos Valley Road, too. Let's do our history thing and whatnot, according to the Tribune. Our flashback, our highlight, on September 17th in 1862, more than 3,600 men were killed and many more wounded and captured or left missing in the Civil War Battle of Antietam in Maryland. Although the battle itself proved inconclusive, it effectively halted the Confederate advance into Maryland. On this date in 1911, Calbreth P. Rogers set off from Sheepshead Bay, New York, aboard a Wright biplane, an attempt to become the first flyer to travel the width of the United States. The 49-day journey required 69 stops before ending in Pasadena. It's like, you know, it's like a Pakistani cruise missile, I think. In 1962, the U.S. space officials announced that the selection of 9 new astronauts, including Neil Armstrong, who became the first man on the moon. In 1972, the Korean War comedy drama MASH premiered on CBS. Our thought from the day, Wendell Phillips, an American abolitionist from the 1800s, he said, governments exist to protect the rights of minorities. The loved and the rich need no protection. They have many friends and few enemies. Okay. Our birthday's day actor, David Huddleston, is 82. Retired Supreme Court Justice David H. Souter is 73. Basketball Hall of Fame coach Phil Jackson is 67. Singer Fee Waybill is 62. Actress Cassandra Peterson is 61, Elvira. And NASCAR driver Jimmy Johnson is 37. Happy birthday to them. And happy birthday to you if it's yours.
Happy birthday to you.
Go, Mo. Mo barbecue, please.
Mo ribs, Mo chicken, Mo pork, Mo beef, Mo burgers, Mo onion rings, Mo potato chips, Mo beans, Mo fried green tomatoes.
Mo barbecue, please.
Mo slaw, Mo tater salad, Mo house salad, Mo Cobb salad, Mo Caesar salad, and Mo's Calypso salad. Mo sodas, Mo brewskis, Mo lemonade, Mo iced tea.
Mo barbecue, please.
At Osus in Monterey, in San Luis Obispo, and in Pismo, it's the bomb. Pomeroy's most bodacious beach barbecue, babies.
Mo barbecue, please.
Here's today's news from CalCoastNews.com, up to the minute. The city of Pismo Beach will not help pay the cost of fighting a lawsuit filed by a developer against members of the San Luis Obispo County's Local Agency Formation Commissioner, LAFCO. The suit contends that members of the board abuse their authority in order to promote their own political careers. While the city is not taking a stand on the lawsuit, city officials said they are not bound by earlier agreements to cover litigation costs because the lawsuit alleges that the LAFCO board acted intentionally and willfully to harm the developer of a project known as Los Robles del Mar. In March, LAFCO members voted 5-2 to deny developer Larry Peterson's request to annex a Larry Pearson's request to annex a 182-acre proposed developments in the Pismo Beach, primarily because of an alleged lack of water to support the project. Lawsuit claims that LAFCO board members Adam Hill and Bruce Gibson are close friends and improperly conspired together to deny the annexation or to further their own political careers in election year. The suit also alleges LAFCO board members made differing statements on the reliability of state water for Parsons' proposed annexation and the pipeline project in Napomo. LAFCO board and its attorneys have denied the allegations. A hearing to determine if LAFCO's decisions to deny Parsons' proposed project should be overturned is set for November 29th in San Luis Obispo Superior Court. And now they want to build a project. They have a proposed project that's five times the size of that one. I don't see that's going to go really well, but okay. Researchers have identified an antibody that not only predicts... It's Monday. Researchers have identified an antibody that not only prevents test animals from contracting the influenza virus, but also cures already infected rodents. By examining the flu virus in its crystalline or 3D form, researchers from the Scripps Research Institute and Sea Lane Biotechnologies were able to identify how the COS antibody grabs hold of a particular structure on the virus, a structure the virus uses to latch onto its victim's cells. Researchers found if they gave mice COS, it prevented them from getting the flu. In addition, mice that had already been exposed to the deadly flu were cured 100% of the time. How great is that? Whoa, how great is that? And then we had this over the weekend. Alleged drunk driver crashed his car into a mobile home in San Luis Obispo on Sunday morning. Philip Garcia, 27, was driving westbound at a high rate of speed on Tank Farm Road. He attempted to turn onto South Higuera Street, lost control of his vehicle, and drove into the mobile home with his car, coming to rest in the living room. Officers booked Garcia into the San Luis Obispo County Jail on a misdemeanor charge of reckless driving and DUI and causing havoc with a motorhome and not being a tornado. And lastly, I'll throw a little of this out at you. The Mothers for Peace has a opinion piece today about the Diablo Canyon seismic testing, and they're still very concerned, of course, with... they're very concerned with the spent nuclear fuel rods not being in permanent storage anywhere. They are indicating that they are really concerned with the seismic testing, and they would like a delay in that. And you can go to calcoastnews.com and 24/7 and read what's going on. And that's our news at 12:15 on the 17th of September. I'm Bill Benneker reporting.
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
Yeah, I don't understand. This project that goes all the way from, heck and gone, it goes all the way to Ormandy Road from, right where Pismo proper sort of ends now. I don't see where that's going to fly. I see how that could possibly work. Yeah, and the Mothers for Peace, like I said, they're concerned, like everybody else is concerned, about what the seismic thing is going to do. I'm more concerned about it. I'm as concerned with the fact that they want the ratepayers to pay for it, as opposed to the stockholders, which I have always found very curious as to why the ratepayers are constantly paying for things at Diablo Canyon and PG&E that would seem to me to be would fall under the responsibility of the stockholders. But I don't. I obviously don't have any stock, so I guess it doesn't matter. I have no say in the whole thing anyway. Okay. All right. I have no say. I got nothing. Now here's what happens when you and I don't interview people because they of events are going to happen, and then get free tickets to it, I interview people because they call me and say, can I come in for an interview? So I did. But anyway, when the hula ladies came in, they not only gave me a necklace, isn't a lei a flower thing? Yeah. It's a necklace made out of some kind of beans or something, pods. I don't know what it was. But anyway, I gave it to my wife. And then so they gave me tickets to see the Hawaiian hula show. And so Nancy and I went and saw the Hawaiian hula show at California Polytechnic State University. And this it was still during WOW Week, you know, on Saturday. Holy mackerel. There's a lot of students out there. A lot of students, I can tell you. Anyway, it was a very nice show. We liked that. Then I got tickets because I can't afford these things otherwise. I got to tell you the truth. Rotary Home Tour. So we went on the Rotary Home Tour yesterday. I felt like I was trespassing 5 times. That's how many homes we saw. So I was, it was interesting. I mean, it was very interesting, some of these homes and where they're located and the views and whatnot, and how they did things in the home. And some of them are really ippy-skippy. It was different. It was different. Then, because, again, I have limited funds, which I've acknowledged you here. I mean, I don't make any claim to having any kind of money. So Nancy and I decided to split our first $12 hamburger and our last. The hamburger was fine. $12. Doesn't make any sense to me for a hamburger, $12. I know it's ham, form, patties, and whatever else they say about hamburgers these days. But $12. Wow. The advantage you get is this. Here's the advantage, though. Here's what you get. You can have it prepared the way you like. So if you like to eat medium rare or medium hamburger, which you can no longer do in any fast food restaurant with their hamburgers, then the nice thing is that somebody else is making it and you can do it. You can do it at home for a lot less, though. But okay. Anyway, so give that a test drive. What else happened downtown? What else? Did I do anything else this weekend? I watched some football. I watched the Dodgers blow it in baseball of 12 innings. They won the day before, though. They won Saturday. So it's not. Anyway. So that's not so good. They're not doing that good. Anyway. What else? Oh, here's what's weird. Wait, let me get this. Oh, no. I may not have it. Oh, no, Bill. I don't think I brought it. I didn't. Boy, you numbskull. I didn't bring sports from yesterday. There were so many games that it was... Maybe it's in today's paper. Let me check some. Wait a second. Let me check some. No. It was in the other paper. But the interesting... the football games... There was such an amazing, in the college football games, there was such an amazing disparity in the scores. I mean, you know, like somebody had 48 and the other people had 0, and then somebody else had 60-something to 20, and it was like just this amazing spread, point spread. And if you're like, you know, do a Vegas thing and have a bookie and whatnot, you lost. I don't care who you are, you lost. There's no way you could have ever predicted that there would be that much and that many games. I would say there was about 6 games that they had scores like that, which is just weird, I thought. I just happened to notice that and thought, well, that's weird. All right. 49ers beat the Lions again. Lions have a hard time against 49ers. Raiders couldn't stop Miami, however. Dolphins 35, Raiders 13. Like I said, we had a loss to the Dodgers. Cal Poly secondary makes a leap forward, so the Cal Poly did a great job. And the Cardinals passed their 12 innings, as I said. And lastly, Rosario scores 3 times and Chargers win. So I'm just talking about California football and baseball and what's going on around. All right, that's that. That's all the sports I'm doing, though, on that. Then, a couple different things. They have in the paper this weekend, they had a student guide. Maybe this was in New Times. I think maybe it was in New Times. Anyway, was it New Times? I think it was in New Times, but I'm not sure. I think it was. Anyway, they have the they have all this is a student guide. It's time for college, and the picture on the front is a guy reading a book, and a little girl jumping up, leaping up, and missing her teeth. And what that has to do with college, I have no idea. But anyway. Here's something I didn't know. You might not have known it either. Out at Poly Canyon, which I didn't realize this, anybody that's, if you're over 21 and you're in the Poly Canyon apartments that are completely comprised of students 21 years and older, you can have alcohol in your room. You can't have a keg. You know, you can't have a kegger, eh? But you can have alcohol in your room. But you can't walk around the campus drunk, because then, here's the thing, and also if you get charged with a DUI on campus, always results in suspension, sometimes expulsion. They also, you have to go through all the other stuff everybody else does, the loss of license, major fines, jail time, and all that. But Cal Poly students face more problems than that. So they had a thing in here, laws and rules. I didn't also didn't know this. I didn't know skateboards were not allowed on the Poly campus, which seems a little odd, doesn't it? But I guess, you know, there's just too many people and you're running over something. So maybe that makes sense. Well, you know, here's a weird thing about skateboarders. You never really notice skateboarders to speak of unless they're doing something really insane. You know what I mean? You know, they're jumping up and flipping the noodle and they're jumping on benches and doing all that kind of stuff. Then you notice them. Otherwise, the people that just kind of ride skateboards, they're just in the background these days, kind of like bicyclists. Anyway, the do's and don'ts on what you can do at Cal Poly. Parking, oh boy. That's always a ticket right there. And then marijuana, we're not supposed to have marijuana, of course, because nobody knows in California what's going on with that. And then they don't want, they're trying to discourage thievery. And then they have, then I think of this one they had, I thought it was kind of interesting, Slow's Best and Only. So this was different places that they sort of, this is different places throughout this magazine. They sort of said, well, here's a cool place to go. And it's interesting, the exact same places that are cool places to go that are in this thing also are the ones that come out in the best of always. So that's kind of weird to me, but that, or maybe it's a coincidence, and maybe it's coincidentally not weird, but I think it's coincidentally weird. I'm going to tell you the truth. Okay. So, same usual places. Okay, they didn't mention Bubblegum Alley, though, which is kind of, you know, it's so iconic. I just was surprised they didn't mention it. Then there was this. Now, this is junk mail, so to speak, but I thought it was interesting that somebody's doing this, to tell you the truth. The regional alternative to UPS and FedEx, with priority overnight savings exceeding 40% and next day ground service that reduces accessorial fees. There's never been a better time to switch to. The outfit's called GSO, Golden State Overnight. So they, in major cities in Nevada, Arizona, and then in California, because obviously they have to have an airport if they're going to get overnight. You've got to have an airport. So, but it's interesting that they're charging less and they're competing with FedEx and UPS. Later pickups, earlier deliveries, customized point of delivery procedures, whatever all that means. Anyway, so there you go. So they're called GSO, and they're at, like, just so you know, GSO.com. Sort of makes sense. That's kind of how things work these days. Okay. So that was the ancillary stuff that happened over the weekend that I thought I'd share with you first. Anything else, Bill? How is it? Okay. Now, this was, you just don't understand how some people's brains work, I tell you. There was a guy named Mike Hayhurst, who's a rodeo clown. He was at the Creston Rodeo. He's from Barstow, where, you know, people have a different sense of what's right and wrong, I suppose. Anyway, so he told a joke over the PA system at the Creston Rodeo. First, the people thought it was the PA announcer guy, but then it turned out it was this other guy. And he told an extremely racist joke over the PA system. And the joke originated back when Sarah Palin was, you know, running for office. And it was so, it was just like you wouldn't, unless the guy was drunk. Now, maybe the guy had been drinking. I don't know. I mean, that's, you're going to say that's not an excuse, but people do the dumbest things in the whole wide world when they're drunk. So that would be the only reason I could think a guy would pick up a microphone and say what this man said. And I'm not going to repeat it, but I'm, you know, you can look it up. It's absurd. It's like, say what? He did what? He said what? That's kind of how you have to look at it. It's just, it's not possible to imagine someone would do such a thing. But he did. He's not welcome back, they said. He's not, I'm not surprised he's not welcome back, because that's really weird. Okay. Now, you know this Los Osos woman that was lost and they didn't know where she was? Well, she was found on a ranch off of Highway 1, and she said she was in a car accident. This gal's had some problems here and there. She was conscious, alert, seemed to be in good condition. She was taken to Sierra Vista Regional Medical Center. She was found up in a ragged point. Smith told the man at the ranch I guess there has to be an address on Highway 1, right? The ranch is at 18550 Highway 1. So does it start in Santa Monica or end in Santa Monica? Where does it go? Anyway, Smith told the man that she had been in a vehicle accident. She was first reported missing in September. Of course, this is September 10th. Anyway, before she went missing, she'd been arrested September 6th on allegations of burglary and inflicting injury on an elder. So there was just was a weird story. But anyway, they found the woman right there. They found her. So the good news is they found her. The other bad news is that she's already in trouble anyway with the coppers, and so that doesn't go away just because you're found. So that's where that lies. Hey, it's right now, 12:27. We'll call it 12:28.
Ever smell coffee beans roasting? You probably will when you start buying your bags of coffee at Slow Roasted Coffee's warehouse in Los Osos. Slow Roasted Coffee is expanding their own in-house store, which will feature, you guessed it, coffee and accessories. They're open weekdays from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. And there's always a few free coffees for you to sample. Catch this. You'll save money with the new Slow Roasted Coffee Coin Club. Here's how it works. After each coffee purchase, they'll stamp your coin, and your 10th pound will be free. Of course, your local grocery stores still carry Slow Roasted Coffee, but now you can shop directly at their warehouse. That's right. Walk in the door, and you might smell the beans a-roasting. You'll find Slow Roasted Coffee in Los Osos at 1172 Los Olivos Avenue near Fairchild. Now in their third decade, Slow Roasted Coffee is truly a Central Coast tradition. That tastes great.
So, Mr. Garrison, you think because you can change your appearance, you can outsmart the KGB?
Change my appearance?
Come now, your smile is breathtaking.
Ah, you've succumbed to my plan to dazzle you with my million-dollar smile, thanks to the work performed by Dr. Phillips at Swiss Dental Center on Higuera Street in San Luis Obispo. Dr. Phillips is the reconstruction expert, so knowledgeable that Dr. Phillips teaches the other doctors. I called 541-1004 for a complimentary consultation and went online at SwissDentalCenter.com to see how everyone raves about Swiss Dental Center.
Oh, Mr. Garrison, you have proven too wily for me. I have no choice but to give you the launch codes and my heart.
Katrina, you've made the right choice.
Oh, Mr. Garrison, Mr. Garrison, Mr. Garrison, Mr. Garrison, Mr. Garrison. Your Vente half-calf with soy foam is ready.
Oh, thanks.
No problem. And by the way, nice smile.
Still, shut up and love.
Rena, I'm still in love with you, by gosh. And you're Rebecca. Thanks for joining me today. This is 1340 KYNS, your news station, and we have we're working on Monday together. We're doing the best we can with Monday. This isn't so good right here. Our insider tactics kill 4 U.S. troops in Afghanistan again. 12 such incidents left 15 coalition fighters dead in August alone. So it's just it's I don't know the answer to this. I accept bring them home. Well, I don't know what else to say. I mean, there really is no way to prevent it, unless you totally isolate the Americans and the NATO troops from the Afghanis, in which case that's not going to work because we're there to try to teach them how to be, well, how to kill us, I guess, is what we're there for, which seems kind of odd. But anyway, that's what's going on with that, which is really strange. All right. Now, let me see if I had here. I had a story about one of the men. Right here, let me bring it up for you. This Marine predicted his own death, as a matter of fact. This is one of the guys killed. Slain Marine sensed insider attack was coming, his father said. And so he had talked to his dad about it. I saw him interviewed today on the news. Anyway, but let's see. Let's go ahead and run this. We have a thing we can play. We think, yeah. Let's see if we have anything preceding it. But anyway, this is an interview with the dad. Okay, this we'll forget that. That commercial makes no sense to anybody if you can't see it. So we'll wait 30 seconds. But anyway, so we have, I mean, to imagine how often this is happening now, and it's happening, that had just happened to the British, as you know. They lost 2 men recently. Also, they attacked the base that Prince Harry's at. I got a feeling they're going to yank him out of there, to tell you the truth. I don't think they're going to let that guy stay there. They said they are for now, but I don't know if it's going to stay like that, because, I mean, that's just his craziness right there. I mean, they're out to get him.
This was the game Greg Buckley Jr. was supposed to see, back home on leave from Afghanistan, where he helped train Afghan forces. The 21-year-old Marine had only 2 days left before heading home to see his brother play varsity high school football for the first time. But before getting word that he was to go home early, he phoned his dad.
He told me that if I have to stay here to November, he says, I'm not going to come home. And I was like, I don't understand. He goes, you got to be able to tell Mom and Justin and Shane, you know, that I'm going to be killed over here. I said, out in the field, you know, or whatever. He goes, no, in our base.
Then it happened. Greg was gunned down August 10th by the very forces he was training. Like he said, it happened inside the base. And by his phone calls and letters, he knew it was coming. And on one particular night on guard duty, he had a run-in with a trainee.
The guy turned around and said to Greg, you know, we don't want you here and we don't need you here. And Greg said, what'd you say? And he said it again. And Greg turned around and said to him, you know, why would you say that? You know, I'm here, you know, giving my life for you guys to help you, you know, to make better, do better for yourselves. And the guy just started tormenting him all night.
His dad says Greg spent the rest of the night with the trainee.
Pitch black out. And all he kept on saying over and over again is, we don't want you, we don't need you, we don't want you, we don't need you.
Building up local security is considered the linchpin of NATO's strategy for withdrawal. But attacks by trainees have become disturbingly more frequent. Families like the Buckleys say it's a sign America's longest war has gone on long enough.
I basically collapsed, and of course his mother collapsed, and we were both on the floor, bawling.
But Greg's 2 brothers refused to cry. At least during the day.
One night I went into Shane's room, and he was on the end of the bed, and his head was hanging over the end of the bed. I thought he dropped water on the floor, and he was just bawling. My heart broke for him. And later on that night, I heard noises from Justin's room. And I went inside, and he had a pillow over his face at 4:30 in the morning, screaming at the top of his lungs, heart-wrenching. And I exchanged with Justin, you know, why don't you guys cry during the day? And they both turned around at the same time and said, we can't. We have to take care of you, Mom.
With the community behind them, the Buckley family is now coping as best they can. And Justin, Oceanside star running back wearing camo with his team to honor Greg, makes sure to salute his fallen brother each time he scores.
Justin! Oh! That's your kid!
Greg was supposed to be home for this game.
What would you tell him right now?
I'll tell him I love him and I miss him. Yeah. That's about it. Thank you.
Oh. David Ariosto, CNN, Oceanside, Long Island, New York.
Wow. Whew. Take a deep breath after that one, eh? I had 2 days. It's a weird thing when you're in combat, you know, when you're exposed to combat all the time and danger. I don't know why we're this way. We just are military people. When you're in the military and when you're what's called a short timer, when you only have a certain length of time left, and short timing can be, I don't know what a short timer is with this crazy war. I have no idea. Because you can go back all the time. In Vietnam, short timers were usually people had a month or less to do. And usually, not always, unfortunately, usually if you had 2 weeks or so, they'd bring you in from the field. At least down where I was in the Delta, they brought the Army guys in at 2 weeks. The Navy guys they were sort of stuck, but the Army guys they bring in. Because there was something about getting that close and then not making it that was appalling. It was appalling. It was weird. It's hard to explain that. You know, what difference does it make if it's the day before you come home or the day after you got there? You're dead. You know, but it's just, it was a weird psychological thing that everybody felt. And everybody felt it for each other. So, you know, if you knew a guy was, you know, close to going home, you were like, you know, pulling for the guy to make sure he got out of there in one piece. You know, and it was like just a very interesting, just an interesting psychological thing. But anyway, very hard, very, very hard to watch that. All right, you're with Bill Benica. Talk is cheap. Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYNS. Thanks for joining me today. There's the back and forth of the campaign things going on, and I'm not going to get into it. I mean, you can listen to it for 22 hours a day here on the station. You can listen to Rush Limbaugh if you want, or listen to that another guy, Glenn Beck. I don't care who you listen to, but every letter to the editor except for one today had to do with this election, which I suppose is it's natural and normal, and people want to get their, you know, want to be heard about it and all that. There's other things. There's more to what's going on in our world than just that. While I recognize how important that is, there's still other things going on. Like, for instance, American Idol now, they have the four judges. I'm kidding, of course. But they do. Randy Jackson, Mariah Carey is going to be in there, or Keith Urban, and Nicki Minaj, who never quite looks like a real person to me, Nicki Minaj, whenever I see her. And then in the picture, she doesn't look like a real person either. But the young girls especially think she's the hottest thing in the whole wide world. They love her. They love her. Oh, they really just go crazy over her. I know because I have a little niece that is in there, too. All right, we had a big cleanup day, and it brings in tons and tons of trash. The California Coast Commission estimated volunteers across the state collected at least 320 tons of debris from beaches, lakes, rivers, and streams this weekend. Holy cow. 57,000 people helped out. I didn't. I'm sorry. Resident Evil, Retribution. You know, one of these movies that, you know, critics say, this is absolute pap. But that doesn't mean anything, because it may be, but that's what people want to see. So Resident Evil even topped Finding Nemo in the 3D version. None of them made a whole lot of money. Resident Evil made $21 million, Nemo $17 million, then all the way down to In the Possession $5.8 million, Lawless at $4.2 million, Paranorman at $3 million, The Expendables 2 at $3 million, The Words at $2.8 million. The Bourne Legacy, $2.8 million, and The Odd Life of Timothy Green was $2.5 million, and at the bottom was The Campaign at $2.4 million. That campaign, it's interesting, you know, I mean, Will Ferrell's a funny guy, and you know, it's you got two big yuck-em-ups in that thing, but for whatever reason, it's just, it ain't happen. That movie just isn't really doing that well. Oh, what's the guy's name? Giflandakis. Goofin. Diffenglofengiscus. Gadisku. Him. Now, I didn't know they had this. Here we have, we have Emo Nari Festival in the Mission. And here's, they had in downtown Paso Robles, they had a thing. Children add some finishing touches to their chalkwork. So there's people that are their kids. This time they're young people that are doing it. But I see. This was part of the Taste of Downtown Paso Robles, which featured local wineries and restaurants. Oh, I got it. It was part of that. I thought they just did this thing all by themselves. Oh, it's part of that event. Well, that's kind of cool then. Good for them. That's a neat thing to. I think that's a great idea when some of these events is have the kids have something, you know, make them have them do art. What's wrong with that? I know what you see when you do that. Of course, you know, then it has to be determined if it's art or not. but that's the same with everybody. You know what I'm saying? I mean, people that, you know, obviously think that Picasso could draw. All right, this was a big story about the from 1970-1991. The Boy Scouts, they say, helped child molesters cover their tracks. Files show. And they failed to report abuse. And what they would do is they'd basically quietly have somebody leave, but then they could join, you know, they could hook up with another troop and continue to molest kids. Now, here's the obvious thing about this, you know, and I'll say it out loud, even though, you know, people might think it, is that, you know, obviously when you have situations where you have lots of young boys and it's a magnet for pedophiles, you know, you have a dangerous situation. I don't think the scouts have, to my knowledge, at least when I was in the scouts, there's no screening process whatsoever for, you know, men going into scouting. And of course you have older scouts, you know, older scouts that are men, almost men, that, you know, they're the scout leader, squad leaders, whatever they were called, for the younger scouts. Now, here's the thing, though. This is the thing that's always amazing to me. And I don't know if we've become weird and that's the deal. I was in the scouts and Cub Scouts. I was in Boy Scouts, and, you know, on. I never encountered a single person that looked at me funny the whole time I was, because I would have said something. I would have said, hey, excuse me, what the hell is this about? I never, not a single time did I have anybody ever, anything that would be not right. So maybe I was just an ugly kid. Is that it? Maybe that's it. I don't know. But I mean that really. It's interesting. And crazier than that. Now, don't ask me why, because I don't know. I would like to ask somebody else why, but they wouldn't know either anymore. And when I say why, I'm also talking about the YMCA in Montclair, New Jersey. The boys swam nude. We were like 8 years old, 10 years old, in that age group, 8 to 10. We swam naked at the Y. I don't know why. The girls didn't. The girls wore bathing suits, but the boys swam naked. And I thought, you know, I thought it was weird. We always thought it was weird, but that's how, if you wanted to go swimming, that's how you went. I don't have no idea. You know, so the guy who was in charge of the YMCA could have been, you know, not right in the head too. I have no idea. So that one was that's a little more suspicious right there, I would say. You know. And no, we don't have, we are not disposed at this point to be able to have me take phone calls, and I feel bad about it still. But you know, I did it on 9/11, but it's not going to happen. So I apologize because somebody's trying to call in. I apologize. All right. Well, here's what's finally happened. Benjamin Netanyahu from Israel is saying, okay, I'm going to take this to the people. I'm going to take this to the voters in the United States and say, here, there has to be a line drawn in the sand. We have to have some kind of a deadline for what's happening in Iran. And the present administration doesn't seem to want to do that. And, you know, you have to understand how the Israelis feel. You know, the Israelis are, they're just a little tiny country. You know, they're one bomb away from being nothing. And they do have, and you realize that, you know, the leadership of Iran has vowed to destroy Israel. and wants to destroy them. It's it's very, very scary for the Israelis, you know, I would think. Even though they have nuclear weapons, it doesn't matter. They can retaliate, you know, they can, but there's no Israel left, you know, fine, they can get the missiles off maybe, but what difference does it make? So it's not, you know, it's not like we had in the Cold War where, you know, major cities were targeted. Some major cities were targeted. I have no idea how many were targeted. I don't know how many we targeted in Russia. I never knew about it. I never knew the answer to that. But anyway, but we had major cities. But it's not a whole country that disappears. The whole country wasn't going to disappear in a nuclear attack. It's amazing. So I have to say I understand, you know, why he's doing this. The other thing is, of course, the other thing that we have to look at, I think, to be fair, is just what is going on right now in with the Arab world and the United States. And it's like, you know, do we need more grief by saying, okay, to Iran, this is what has to happen, and by this time. And then all of a sudden, now we do have a line drawn, and now then we have to act on it. The other thing, too, of course, is if Israel acts on it, we act. Israel is going to be us at the same time. I mean, we can't extricate ourselves from our relationship with Israel just because, you know, we're being standoffish with Netanyahu. You can act that way. The president can act that way, but that doesn't mean anything. You know, they're a very close ally. So if they dive in, we dive in. Wow. And, of course, there's rage over the crazy film. And here's the interesting thing. Columnists, you know, all weekend long, I was reading different columns from different people in different papers. And everybody in the whole wide world is basically saying, what's wrong with this group of Muslim people? Because not all Muslims are protesting and rioting. What's wrong with the Muslims that are doing this? That, you know, they can take, they're so reactionary to something that, you know, most of us just shrug our shoulders at. It doesn't matter. You can say that, and we can ask ourselves why, but what you're dealing with, of course, is with the fanatics. And when people are fanatic, they're fanatic. That describes them. They're fanatics. There's nothing you can do about it. You can't change their mind. You can't change how they think or what they do. They're going to do it. That's just the way it is. And the sad part is, it sounds to me like the people that put this thing together had a very good idea that this was going to happen. You know, it doesn't take much. You know, you have a girl with Down syndrome that burned some Quran pages because she didn't know any better and was trying to start a fire to stay warm. And they, you know, she luckily was released from jail, but I mean, it was a really touch and go on that for a while. Now, here's the other thing, too. Here's an opinion right here. The reality of Islamophobia. All right, here's what the guy had to say. I was raised an evangelical Christian in America, and any discussion of Christian-Jewish-Muslim relations around the world must include the phenomenon of American Islamophobia, for which large sectors of evangelical Christianity in America serves as a greenhouse. At a time when U.S. embassies are being attacked and when people are getting killed over an offensive adolescent and puerile film targeting Islam, beyond pathetic in its tawdriness, we might begin to own up to the reality of evangelical Islamophobia. Now, here's what I would have to respond to that. I mean, this is my response to that. Well, I wasn't an evangelical Christian. I was just a regular run-of-the-mill Christian kind of guy growing up. To this day, I don't really think about, well, now, of course, with the riots going on, I think about what's going on with Islam, and, of course, with everything that's happened since 9/11, I think about it. But I don't have a phobia about it. I don't ever think of it in those terms, you know. I see the fanatics for what they are, the fanaticism for what it is, but I don't dwell on it. Anyway. But this guy says there's people that are dwelling. Okay. Opinion. Kate, they're always watching. They are, Kate. It's a shame. I mean, it's an honest-to-God shame. I mean, I think the lowest rung on the ladder, quite frankly, is paparazzi. But we're to blame also because we'll consume the pictures that are taken. You know, we'll buy a magazine that has those pictures in it. So we basically are our own worst enemy when it comes to what the paparazzi does. This is just out of control. But here's the other thing that's weird. In a French newspaper, somebody being topless, even if it was a member of the royal family, probably meant nothing. You know, they have beaches where people don't wear tops and whatnot. They've come to terms with bosoms, whereas in this country, you know, Hugh Hefner decided to tweak the whole thing around and make it weird. So, and it has been ever since. So the whole idea of nudity, you know, in foreign countries is very different than it is here. So, in a way, now, of course, the royal family is reacting because, it was an invasion of their privacy. They weren't at a public place. They were at a private residence. Amazing. Bob Costas, in an interview with, this was with Conan O'Brien, and I want to play this for you because it reminds me so much of what happened to me. I'll say me. I was the program director one time. I'll tell you. Let me see if this got that crazy ad again. So he's talking about the Olympics with Conan O'Brien, and basically saying that, you know, something was really whacked out about what happened as far as NBC. Okay, this one might make sense. That's not gonna make sense either. That's one of those phones or iPads or whatever it is, which is interesting because this is a new phenomenon now that I'm seeing in quite a few. TV commercials now, besides radio commercials, there's a lot of commercials where they don't really talk. If they do, it's right at the very end, but they just have a lot of activity going on. Kind of nice, probably. Nice change.
Congratulations on your work with the Olympics. I thought you did an amazing job.
Thank you.
Were you... I don't know how many people watch that thing. I'm guessing it's in the hundreds of thousands of people. And it's a big responsibility to be the face of the Olympics. Mm-hmm. You did a terrific job. Were you pleased with how it all turned out?
Well, there are always little quibbles, but I thought we were doing well, headed to the finish line.
Yeah.
And we get right to the end of the closing ceremony. They extinguish the flame. And the final act in a closing ceremony that had iconic British pop acts, the final act, is The Who.
Yeah, huge.
And NBC decides that at that moment, they should provide America with a sneak preview of Animal Practice. Come back an hour later and have The Who.
And check in on The Who.
Yeah, check in on The Who. So
what's Animal Practice? What is that show?
Animal Practice is evidently a comedy, at least we're hoping it is, that revolves around a veterinary practice. And one of the doctors is a chimpanzee.
So a monkey.
Oh, a monkey.
It's a monkey.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Not a gibbon.
I've seen the posters.
It's a monkey. So here is the balance that NBC has to consider. The Who, Animal Practice.
Right.
Roger Daltrey, Pete Townsend, monkey in a lab coat. You know, and I'm sure you'd be the first to attest, Conan, that when it comes to the tough calls, NBC usually gets them right.
You're the best guest ever, man.
That was very funny. I think I've shared this, but it was a long time ago, the last time I did. So I'll tell you what happened. This is years ago at KVC. We were the station every year that ran the Indy 500 on radio. Now, the late Dan Clarkson was the general manager. The Dodger contract was huge for us. I mean, I got to tell you, that was a huge moneymaker for us back then. And we got paid by the Dodgers, you know, to actually carry the games. All that stuff's changed nowadays. But we got paid by the Lakers. We got paid by the Dodgers, the whole thing. Anyway, how do I say this? Nothing ever was more important than the Dodger game. And so We knew the Indy thing was coming up, and there was a Dodger game that might run, you know, if the depending on how long, you know, how things went with the Indy race, how many times they had to stop, you know, for a yellow flag, that kind of thing, that maybe it could run into the Dodger game. So I said, and then in the future, this is what we did, fortunately. I said, I know this sounds really weird, but I know what you want. You want to get the advertisements in because that's what they're paying for, is for the advertisements that are in there that we air, Farmer John and Union 76 and whoever else it was at the time. And so I said, why don't we, so that we run the commercials, why don't we either take the commercials out of a tape segment, you know, tape a segment of the Dodgers before we get there, tape the commercials and we'll, you know, have them just separate and play them after the game and after the post-game show. And so he didn't like that idea. So we, which was weird because whenever the Dodgers run, you know, we were obligated to run ABC News. Well, we weren't obligated to run the news. What we were obligated to run was the commercials. So we would have to tape, the guy that was sitting there at the board would have to, when the Dodgers were on, we would have to tape the news. And then those commercials would have to come out of it and be played later on. So anyway. What we did was they said, I don't know how this decision was reached. It wasn't my decision, but I think it was Dan's. We'll just run the whole pregame after the postgame, which, of course, I mean, I know how that sounds. That sounds really weird. But that was my suggestion. No, I'm sorry. That was my suggestion. Just run the whole postgame, pregame after the postgame, and that way everything's run. And he said, no, there's no way we're going to do that. So the guy that was the news director at that time was at the beach. I was down at Avila, and a lot of people were listening to the Indy 500 on the radio. He said you would have been surprised to how many people listen to the Indy 500 on a radio. And so Dan's edict was when the Dodgers start, we go to the Dodgers and we'll tape delay. If there's we don't get to the end of the race, we'll tape delay that. And I'm like, oh, man, that's not going to go really good. But guess what happened?
You're now in Bill Benica's world, where talk is cheap.
Sometimes when I thought I'd get the money back, baby, I'm so tired.
That's what I was telling you about. We were interrupted right there. We interrupted the Indy 500 with two laps to go, and three people were like head to head. There was like three people head to head, and so here we had the two laps to go. It was obscene. And then so we played the two laps at the end of the Dodger game. The news director down at Avila Beach said that the people were kicking their radios. They were cussing at him, and there was a large outcry of people going, "What in the hell is that?" As you can imagine. All right, well, that's what happened right there. Other things happen in our world today. Other things are going on. They had a story, but it was a visual thing again. Had the Guinness Book of Records met, and they went over the new records for the year. And so they had a guy that can swallow like 15 swords at one time. I'm serious. There was a guy that had the largest biceps. There were these weird looking things that his arms were like normal except for these big huge biceps. I'm not exactly sure how that worked, but anyway, they had an old lady that was a gymnast still. I'm talking old lady, was a gymnast. But the most fascinating thing, well, we talked about the dog. We talked about the dog. Yeah, we talked about the dog the other day. I told you about the dog that drinks out of the sink. It's that tall. But then the thing that was really fascinating is the shortest woman is 24.7 inches tall. And she's a real person. And I'd like to have her around the house. It's going to be fun. Anyhow, that's it. Right there. Amazing. There's so many amazing things that are going on in our world. Let me get this up here because I want to share this with you, if I may. And where is it, Bill? I was here somewhere a minute ago. Okay, I got it now. All right. There was a little more discussion on what's going on overseas in the Muslim world here. I'm slowly, ever so slowly, bringing it to you. Ever so slowly. We're getting to it ever so slowly. Okay. Ever so. I'm not getting to it at all, apparently. It's not playing. So, you know what I always say when this happens to me? You know, life's normal. Yeah, snafu. Okay, let's get to other things then. But there's stuff going on in Pakistan, Lebanon, Iran, India. I mean, all over the place. And then there's a video that came out that appears to show Libyans retrieving the ambassador's body. They were taken to a hospital. Now, see, what he did was, do you understand what happened to him? He locked himself in a secure room, but it was secure like a cage. So he locked himself in a secure room, but the smoke was able to get into the room, and he asphyxiated, is what happened to the guy. Anyway, that's Chris Stevens. Chicago teachers remain on strike. Mayor plans legal action and the walkout. They thought they were going to have this thing wrapped up this weekend. You know, that was the talk starting with like Friday, Thursday even. They still were talking about it. Well, we'll get this thing wrapped up over the weekend. And they didn't. So Rahm Emanuel says that city attorneys to seek a court order forcing Chicago teacher unions back to the classroom. So we'll see what happens with that. Monthly robocall reports climbed from 65,000 in 2010 to 212,000 in April, according to figures. So, you know, this thing, do not call list, they don't care anymore. They don't give a flying. They just don't care. So that's what's happening right there. They don't care. And then, of course, we're just going to start, I'm pretty sure, with this political season, we're going to start to get robocalls from candidates. I sense that coming, you know. That's a given. Now, they fully contained that 90-acre brush fire that was over by the Getty Museum, just to let you know that, that they finally took care of that thing. But anyway, and the museum was reopened before they actually had the whole thing done. But they, you know, they were worried about it for a while, understandably. Nice museum, too. I went by it about a million times going to the VA down there without ever going to the museum. And then one day I said to Nancy, I said, let's go to the museum and see what it's like. It was very nice. American children eat as much salt as adults, about 1,000 milligrams too much, or the same amount as just one Big Mac. You got the Big Mac. All right. Then they had a thing. Where was I reading this thing about value menus? Somewhere about, you know, watch out for the value menus because you're not getting that much to eat on a value menu. So you're paying less, but you're also eating less. And what they're basically saying is that we've become pigs when we go to the fast food restaurants. And so they know this, but the restaurant know that if you order off even the low price menu, you're going to order three things usually. You're going to order fries, a soda pop, and whatever it is you're ordering. So they know that. They know they've got three things sold. So, you know, only one of them is on the value deal. So it's kind of a sucker punch is what it is. Let's see what's going on. Now, here you go. A semi-official religious foundation in Iran has increased a reward it has offered for the killing of British author Salman Rushdie to $3.3 million from $2.8 million. This author of the Satanic Verses, the novel was considered blasphemous. I didn't know they were still after the guy, but I guess they are. He seems to walk around with relative impunity. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know how that works. But anyway, he's got a brand new book out. I can't remember the name, but I know you just put a new book out. International three-man crew on board a Russian-made Soyuz capsule touched down successfully on the cloudless central Kazakhstan early this morning after 123 days of the International Space Station. So that was good news. They made it.
It's weird how, you know, they still do it the way they've always done it as far as recovering people, you know, on land is how they do it. Okay.
Other people on the news. The Detroit of California. I'm not going to get into this whole story, but this was an interesting affair. This is called, in the Detroit of California, is a place called Mendota. And they have an unemployment rate that is absolutely amazing. Where is this thing here? It's 38%. Yeah, 38.7% unemployment rate in this place. So why do people stay there, you ask? I have the faintest idea. I don't know. Okay. Here was an opinion, a commentary from the LA Times that said a town misfires in the plastic bottle war. So basically what they were saying is the Concord, Massachusetts has a new law that a person who heads into a store in that town for some hydration will be able to buy a plastic bottle of soda, but not a similar bottle of what dietitians say should be the drink of choice, which is water. So that's really weird, you know. Now it's amazing how many Americans guzzle from 2.5 million plastic bottles an hour. 2.5 million bottles an hour we drink of plastic bottles of all kind, whatever we drink, water, soda pop, whatever it is, juice, Sonica. Anyway, and so 80% of the plastic bottles are recycled, but in part because the public service campaigns that this country could imitate. I'm sorry. We certainly could do better. Many places, in Sweden, more than 80%. Not us. We don't do it worth a darn on us. So anyway, so they banned the plastic bottles for water, but they didn't ban plastic bottles for other stuff. And Nancy and I are getting used to the thing now. Every place we go, we go to CVS Pharmacy to get eye drops or something. We don't really need a whole shopping bag, but we're learning to take a bag in with us. We're always taking a bag. Kind of getting on a program, because when does that start? In October, doesn't it? Okay. Might as well get used to it. You can still complain if you want to, but, I mean, you might as well get used to it. So here Kathleen Parker had a thing about the jihadists and the stuff that's going on, and it's like, okay. It's all...
It's all the same stuff. Now, let me see if I have anything here that might possibly play that I want. This was a, what was this story? I'm not sure what this is. It says, don't let dreams end with the summer. It's an opinion piece. So that sounds so ambiguous that I thought I'd go ahead and give that a shot.
CNN.
Radio.
I'm Bob Green for CNN Opinion. Summer's End, 1965. My buddies and I stood in the parking lot of the Northland Shopping Mall in Columbus, Ohio, watching the Battle of the Bands. One band, the Dantes, had something special. The lead singer, 18-year-old Barry Hayden, possessed the onstage electricity of a Midwestern Mick Jagger. The Dantes had a record, Can't Get Enough of Your Love, that went straight to number one on the hometown rock station, WCOL. We just knew they were going to be huge stars, wealthy beyond imagining. So I can't say that. It didn't quite happen. Within 3 years, the Dantes had broken up. And Barry Hayden? We didn't know what became of him. As this summer of 2012 was winding down, I was in Ohio and saw that, in the town of Gahanna, a band called The Professors was going to be playing at a bar and grill. The lead singer's name was Barry Hayden. On a Friday night, I walked in and sat at the bar. The band was setting up. Barry came over to say hello. He's 65. He said that for the last 16 years he has worked at the Ohio State House arranging guided tours. I told him about watching him sing 47 summers ago at that Battle of the Bands. We stood and talked and laughed. He had been away from music for decades, he said, and thought he had lost it forever. But 3 years ago, he formed The Professors. The youngest member is in his mid-50s. They do this on weekends. They began their set. They were wonderful. Songs of the Rolling Stones, the Kinks, the Birds, the Beatles. Five guys on the stage who were giving themselves and their audience 3 hours of gladness. Barry Hayden told me he knows he will never be a rich man. But he has found this again, after fearing it was gone for good. It's the one thing in my whole life that has ever made sense, he told me. It's the one thing I'm good at. It's who I am. You shouldn't put off doing the thing you love. If you wait, if you think you'll get around to it someday, someday may never come. We are into the last week of summer now. Next weekend, autumn arrives. And opportunities for joy, just like summer nights, are fleeting and finite. For CNN Opinion, I'm Bob Green.
Hi, Bob. A little strange one. There you go. All right, so that it was a story about the Unfinished Business Band, is really what it was about. My friends in the band. Okay, right there. Yeah, but they've been doing it a long time. They've been at it. All right. They had in the news, they had about the Ohio Tascadero State Hospital staffer spat on, cut and bruised, but they showed these different incidents that happened at Tascadero State Hospital. Now, for what reasons that none of us seem to really understand, what they're going to do is they're going to cut back on what they actually report. So the Tribune said, okay, well, we're going to ask for some reports and see what we can find out. And so they found out that there's a lot of stuff that's not good. And a lot of violent acts. And, of course, one of the reasons is because violent offenders are put in Atascadero State Hospital. And when they're violent offenders, they're violent. Makes sense. But then they're violent towards the staff, which is really weird. So 409 incidents against employees last year took place, according to state data. But now we didn't hear about 409 things, that's for sure. And now we're going to hear less about any of them. So we don't know what's going on with it. Eh, we don't know why. hear the Tribune, and I give them credit for this. They had quite a long, extensive story about two gay men who adopted a son, 14, when he was an infant, and that was, he's now 14, and they live in Napomo. And this was back, you know, before, you go back 14 years, this is before, you know, people you didn't even discuss the fact that you were gay, let alone adopted a child. Anyway, but that's turned out to be a stable environment, which is, in a lot of cases, is, you know, you look at what happens with husbands and wives, and half of them break up. So anyway, it's just a very interesting story. The boy grew up, we get this thing about people think that, you know, there's still people that think that somehow you're influenced to be gay. And obviously, if that was the case, this boy would be gay, would he not? But he's not. He's not gay at all. So it's like, you know, we got to, the lesson to be learned, I think, in this story, I don't know what they were trying to tell us in the story, but I think the lesson to be learned is, you know, people are born how they're born. You're born with what you're going to be. And that's that. Not the way that goes. That's it right there. That said, here, see, here is where I came across this. UK military not planning to end Harry's Afghan tour. So this is the two U.S. Marines died in assault on the camp that he's at. The Prince's deployment was carefully planned, and the threat to all British troops was continually assessed and all measures taken to mitigate it. So I'm just telling you, they're not going to keep him there. I just can't imagine. There's a lot of people there's stuff I didn't know about when I was reading it, and some of these people. Do you know who Greg Kinn is? Rocker Greg Kinn. I don't know who he is. But anyway, he was Smash Hits, The Breakup Song, and Jeopardy in the early 1980s. Boy, I remember that. I'm sorry, I'm lost. Anyway, he was a disc jockey up in the Bay Area, and he's lost his job. I'm trying to get behind this story because, you know, I don't know the guy, but I'm working on it right there. Okay. This is fun. It took almost three decades, but the M-Pipe Bulldogs football team finally evened the score, even without Tom Cruise in the field. Two Western Pennsylvania high school football teams reenacted on Friday night game in All the Right Moves. It was filmed in Johnstown in 1983. But this time, Ampipe won by 3 points rather than losing by two. Anyway, the 20th Century Fox movie with Tom Cruise, Leah Thompson, and Craig Nelson featured dozens of local football players, coaches, cheerleaders, band members, and students, and more than 10,000 residents filled Point Stadium nearly 30 years ago during filming of the big game. So there you are. So they decided, okay, let's do the game again. I take it they're two teams that don't often play each other. You know, they must not be in the same league. Or something. Yeah. I don't know why I take this long to play another game. Something not right with that, is it? I'll take a break and I'm gonna think about it. Get a cup of Joe.
Ever smell coffee beans roasting? You probably will when you start buying your bags of coffee at Slow Roasted Coffee's warehouse in Los Osos. Slow Roasted Coffee is expanding their own in-house store, which will feature, you guessed it, coffee and accessories. They're open weekdays from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m., and there's always a few free coffees for you to sample. Catch this. You'll save money with the new Slow Roasted Coffee Coin Club. Here's how it works. After each coffee purchase, they'll stamp your coin, and your 10th pound will be free. Of course, your local grocery stores still carry Slow Roasted Coffee, but now you can shop directly at their warehouse. That's right. Walk in the door, and you might smell the beans a-roastin'. You'll find Slow Roasted Coffee in Los Osos at 1172 Los Olivos Avenue near Fairchild. Now in their third decade, Slow Roasted Coffee is truly a Central Coast tradition. That tastes great.
One of the most common places you may encounter noise is at home. Noise-induced hearing loss can occur from prolonged exposure to everyday household items, such as lawn equipment, power tools, toys, MP3 players, stereos, TV sound systems, appliances such as blenders, hand mixers, and food processors, also hair dryers. Listening to these items longer than 30 minutes at loud levels can be dangerous. Have your loved one's hearing checked today. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Karen Scott Hearing Aids and Audiology.
Pound for pound, They're the baddest dudes around. And they're coming live to Chumash Casino Resort during action-packed Showbox Boxing on September 21st.
He is getting blocked clean body and head.
Tickets start at just $35 and are on sale now at Club Chumash or ChumashCasino.com. It's Bad Dudes.
Oh, what a whack.
And Bad Blood.
He's out. It is. He's out.
During live Showbox Boxing only at Chumash Casino Resort.
Let's stay together. Okay, you're the Bill Beck. Al Green, who now is a minister in Memphis, I believe. And I'm not only believe, I'm sure of it. Sorry. He's a minister in Memphis at a church there. All right, you're the Bill. Talkers Chief, Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYNS in SLO. And we're getting this thing together on Monday and stroke it along as best we can for a Monday. Something odd is happening, which is why you're probably saying, Bill, what are you doing? I'm trying to get ready for the next thing that has to happen. And once again, I'm I had problems with this before. I'm having problems with it now.
All right, thank you. All right, Bill, get on with it, boy. Get things done. Get things accomplished here. Get things told. There's stories and tales to be told. All right, let's see if I think this thing may, I don't want to hold myself to this, I think this may be working now, and I think that this is something we ought to hear. This is the Arab Spring activist. This is a guy named Nasser Wadedi. Reacts to this wave of violence.
An anti-American protest this week is Mauritania. Nasser Wadedi is a native of Mauritania, though he grew up in Libya and Syria. Wadedi came to the U.S. as a refugee in 2000. He's now with the American Islamic Congress's Hands Across the Mideast Support Alliance, or HAMSA. Through Twitter, Facebook, and blogs, Wadedi helped train a core group of activists who led last year's Arab Spring. That work has led some to describe him as the muse philosopher of the uprisings. Now Wadedi says he feels deeply connected to the events unfolding in the Middle East and North Africa.
When the events started, it was a very emotional moment for me, because finally everything that I had aspired for, trained for, was finally materializing. Arabs across the region, and non-Arabs for that matter, are rising against these dictatorships. So it was very personal for me. And on a side note, I came to the United States as a political asylee because of my political opinions back home, and everything clicked all of a sudden.
So given the recent violence in Libya and Egypt and elsewhere this week, is that personal for you too then?
Absolutely. And let me share with you a story. In 1977, my father was the Mauritanian ambassador in Libya. And Muammar al-Qaddafi at the time had basically incited a mob to go over and protest at the U.S. embassy. And they started smashing it. And there were, in the process, actually some people got in. So my father offered the U.S. ambassador at the time, Richard Murphy, and his staff refuge in our compound. And I ended up getting myself asylum, ironically, and seeing that the Islamist rabble rousers were taking advantage of people's religious fervor to score political points and ultimately ruin the people-to-people relationship that was finally going back on track after the Arab uprisings between the peoples of the region and the United States. That was deeply hurtful. Given especially other than my extracurricular activities on Twitter, my professional activities as the outreach director for the American Islamic Congress.
So I'd like to know what your sense is of what's happening right now. I mean, have these riots this week kind of put the Arab Spring or the Arab Uprising, whatever you want to call it, off track?
I do believe that these events this week are a stark reminder that the real challenge that we're facing is not so much the wave of violence, but the mindset behind them that would take another generation to change. And I think more importantly, what needs to be stated very clearly is that we know who whipped up this frenzy. It was no news for 2 months until an Egyptian satellite channel started whipping frenzy. Those are the responsible parties for this, and they need to be held accountable.
And yet those people really, as many people have said, are a small minority. So how do you counter the influence of a small minority?
I think that the most effective way in the short term, we need TV channels to do exactly the same thing that they're doing, but in the opposite direction, to check their discourse and provide an alternative point of view. It's not the lack for enlightened and liberal Arabs. They're out there by the bucket load. What is lacking is the funding and the resources to allow these people to mount these kind of responses.
So I imagine you've been in contact with people in the region this week after the violence has erupted. What are you telling them? What advice are you sharing with them? Are they saying to you, Nasser Wadedi, you told us this is going to be a great, bright future, and now look what's happening. What do we do now?
I actually heard voices like that, and more than anything, I am encouraged, despite all the doom and gloom, by the voices coming out of the region, and there are a lot of them, condemning the actions. The bright future lies in people's willingness and ability to stand for these very freedoms.
Nasser, any regret at all over your helping to let the democracy genie out of the bottle?
In the words of one of the companions of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, before the Battle of Karbala, knowing that he was facing death, Al-Hur said that if he were to be killed that day and resurrected, he would do it again, all over again. I say the same. I will do it all over again, and I do not regret one bit of it because history is on our side.
Nasser Wadadi is outreach director with the group Hamsa, or Hands Across the Mideast Support Alliance. It's an initiative of the American Islamic Congress. Nasser, thank you very much for coming to the studio.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Marco, today.
Nasser Wadadi. Okay, we got the name. I got the name pronounced anyway. All right, here's, and you know, Al-Qaeda, by the way, is trying to ramp up all this craziness that's going on over there in the Mideast. Not surprising. Not surprising there. All right. There was a fascinating article to me about just because of the money that's involved, the amount of money. Now, I realize that when you're the government, these numbers don't faze you at all. I don't know why they never faze you, but they don't. They were talking about our nuclear arsenal. We have 5,113 warheads in the inventory, and so they need to be updated, renovated. They got new facilities they have to do, and plus the fact they have to replace aircraft, submarines, and ground launch systems that carry nuclear payloads. The Congressional Budget Office estimates it would cost up to $110 billion to build 12 replacements for the aging Ohio-class subs first launched in the 1980s. These, of course, are the nuclear subs, you know, the ones with the missiles. A total cost, in order to have the arsenal work the way it should work, now, and I assume that there must be a lifespan for submarines, for how long they can, you know, withstand pressure and all that kind of stuff. But the total cost is $352 billion. $352 billion to make sure that our nuclear warheads work okay. It's like, okie dokie, okie dokie. Wow, that's a lot. See what else is going on. Let's see what's happening right now. What do Chicago teachers want? New protest rage over anti-Muslim film. This one person says, "Don't blame the video." Well, everybody's saying the same thing. You know, there's the people that are fanatics. That's all I'm telling you. Now wait, here's, you know, this cruising lately is getting to be kind of a scary affair, you know, with things, ships sinking and whatnot. Coast Guard crews searched Monday for a cruise ship passenger who went overboard Sunday night about 47 miles east of Fort Lauderdale. Another passenger saw the 21-year-old woman from Bartlett, Tennessee, go overboard, according to a statement from the Royal Caribbean Information Cruise Line. The ship, the Allure of the Seas, left Fort Lauderdale on Sunday for its first port of Nassau, Bahamas. After the woman went overboard, the captain immediately stopped the ship and turned around to search for her, according to Royal Caribbean. Two other nearby cruise ships joined the search, and the Coast Guard later took over. It probably ran over the damn woman. Anyway, the site of the woman's disappearance was marked by the ship's GPS and closed-circuit camera. Footage showed her going overboard. Is she going overboard? Did she jump or did she fall? Doesn't say. So it sounds like it was an accident, though. As best I can tell, it sounds like it was an accident. Because they were, that's all I'm guessing, but it sounds like it was an accident. Okay. More strange cruise news. People falling over the side. Let's see what else we got. Obama-Romney duel over China. Romney retooling campaign message. Where they stand on foreign policy. LSU evacuate after bomb threat, and they found no bombs, of course. Yeah, here's the people are disappears. A woman disappeared off of city streets. Here's a retiree disappears from Amtrak train. Okay. Editor suspended over the Kate photos. I guess the editor of the magazine. Let's see which editor it was. I'm ready to share the story. They filed a criminal complaint that Chi, the Italian magazine, put out a special edition Monday with 26 pages of photos of William and Catherine on vacation. As editors at Closer did last week, I think it's pronounced Chai, C-H-I, Chi, executives defended publishing the photos despite the furor from London.
They're owned by both the magazines are owned by Mondadori Publishing Company. I have to honestly say to you, I'm not finding anywhere that someone was let go. I'm not seeing it anywhere. Editor Mike O'Kane told the BBC that Irish readers wanted to know what all the kerfuffle was about. A kerfuffle. Well, it was about Kate's kerfuffles is what it's about. So, what's going on with that? I didn't see an editor being fired. Where are they? In Borneo or someplace? Someplace strange. With a lot of natives and whatnot. All right. iPhone 5 sets a record, I guess, over the number of over the number sold. I'm not going to get into this one, okay? We don't need to know. It has a video of it, you know, and some information. But it says India tackles public defecation. We don't care. I really don't have one go. All right, so that's enough of that. We're enough of that. This guy was funny. This is a new guy. I'll give you just a little bit of this. This is a new guy on Saturday Night Live, and he's imitating Barack Obama, and he does a pretty good job. It's pretty funny. We're going to poke some fun soon. Real soon. I'm still trying to figure out how that we can $300 billion it is on nuclear weapons. That's just to deal with the ones we have. That's not for any new ones. So that's quite amazing, as a matter of fact. Okay. And here it says, a poll shows strong support for campaign spending limits. Unfortunately, that poll didn't include the Supreme Court, apparently, because they aren't concerned about that. So that's so much for that poll.
7 weeks until the U.S. presidential election, and Saturday Night Live has finally hit the campaign trail. Take a look.
Election day is near, and things aren't great. The economy's in the tank. The job market's horrible. And now, even my foreign policy is under attack. But there is something I want you all to know. I'm not worried. Not in the least. Should be. Seems like I would be, but I'm not. And I'll tell you why. Our campaign has a secret weapon. And that secret weapon is speaking right now in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Let's take a look.
Hello, I'm Mitt Romney. And I understand the hardships facing ordinary Americans. For example, this summer, one of my horses failed to medal at the Olympics. So I know hardship.
That's funny. That's funny. All right. Other things in our world today. 10 minutes before the hour of two. 10 before 2. Scooting along here, aren't we? Now, this is really a strange. The CSU applicants are going to get a letter about Prop 30. So all the people that are, you know, that are trying to get into CSU schools are going to get a letter that basically says if Prop 30 doesn't pass, you're not going to have classes. So that's a little – some question of legality saying school is using a government resource for politics. Yeah, it is. It is, but it sort of makes sense what they're doing. But – It doesn't seem right what they're doing, but it makes sense what they're doing. How's that? Okay, we'll go with that. That's where I'm at right now. All right. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't seem right. Makes sense. Doesn't seem right. All right. Huge anti-Japanese protests sweep China. You know, they're not getting along over some goofy islands that then somebody bought. They bought the islands, but they still got a problem. But anyway, so they're having trouble with this whole thing. A Japanese news agency cited protests in at least 28 cities and quoted unnamed diplomatic sources saying the scale of the protests was the largest since the two nations normalized ties in 1972. So it's there's it's over a whole bunch of stuff, really. But mostly about the Japanese government announcing earlier that it had bought three uninhabited islands in the East China Sea that are part of a contested chain at the heart of a territorial dispute. Which then leads you to say to yourself, well, if they bought them, remember I said this when they said that. If they bought them, then why are they not theirs? I mean, I don't know. I'm lost about why that is. But I don't have an answer. I don't know what that's about. Don't get it. Oh, and here's the thing. I thought I would just mention because, you know, what do they call him? AWOL Abel Maldonado. Lately, from what we learned from Calcos News and from the paper. So here's the deal. 24th Congressional District Race, Capps versus Maldonado. This is a public forum, and it's Friday, September 28th, 7:30 p.m. at the Trib. League of Women Voters is moderating it. And so it's going to be at the Tribune at 3825 South Higuera Street. An interesting place to have it. When is that? The 28th, Friday the 28th. Okay, so that's next Friday. Not this Friday, but the following Friday. So we'll see if Abel Maldonado shows up for it. I'm thinking he would, but there's no guarantee I'm right. help. Now here's another strange thing to tell you. They're talking about deportees to Mexico being preyed upon by gangs. What they're trying to do is they're trying to take deportees and put them way deep into Mexico, not near the border where they might have come from. But that doesn't matter because, you know, we have people coming across the border from South America. But anyway, the idea is that they put them someplace else. Unfortunately, in Mexico right now, there's a lot of places that are pretty no good. You know, that's the problem right there. So the question becomes, of course, you know, then what do you do? A little weird, I'd say, you know. Yeah, that is weird. And, anything else I can tell you today? Yeah, results elude Occupy movement. So They're saying that the Occupy movement organizers are hoping to renew attention on economic woes facing the 99%. So what they want to do is they want to bring it to our attention once again that things aren't so great. I don't know how much we need to be reminded of that, but that's okay. If that's what they think they need to do, then that's what they think they need to do. I just didn't know we needed to be reminded of that, but okay.
Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the bright side of life. Some things in life are bad, they can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble, give a whistle. This'll help things turn out for the best. Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the bright side of life. Life's a counterfeit when you look at it. Life's a laugh and death's the joke, it's true. You see, it's all a show. Keep them laughing as you go. Just remember the last laugh is on you.
like on your bright side of life. We're going to continue to try to look on the best side of life that we can, and we're going to do it tomorrow at 12 noon. I'm Bill Benica, thanking you for joining me, and until then, my ears shall be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because...
This is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network. Game over. With Bill Benica.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again.
I know what you're thinking, and you're right.